the Transfiguration. Jesus takes Peter and John up the mountain. They see Jesus transfigured, dazzling, bright, shining, far beyond the best computer-generated graphics or anything else he can come up with, along with Moses and Elijah, sort of the big three. And he took Peter, James, and John. Now, the disciples aren't exactly the 12 people I would pick for my inner circle of leadership. They have some trouble all the time. They don't get it, really, ever. Peter has one or two shining moments, but mostly he's a screw-up. But Jesus picks him today for this thing that sort of tips the hand, if you will, that says, this is who I really am, that talks about everything that's supposed to come. And if you remember the rest of the story, because we know how it ends, Peter still messes up throughout the entire rest of the story. He gets all of the rest of it wrong, even still. And James and John, we forget about these guys because Peter screws up so spectacularly all of the time. But James and John, these are the sons of Zebedee, the people who come to Jesus and say, we want to drink the cup you drink out of. And Jesus looks at them and says, really? You're sure about that? They say, oh yeah, we're on top of this. And also, we want to sit beside you in the next kingdom. And Jesus has to say, well, I have no control over that one. And I don't think you understand the first question. This is the inner circle of the inner circle Jesus picks to witness the Transfiguration. Not who I would have picked. You've got some great other characters. It's Mary Magdalene, but let's be honest, the gospel writers would never have allowed her to be picked. And really, I don't think Jesus would have brought her. Because Jesus appears with Moses and Elijah. Elijah probably should make the cut. Elijah is one of the great prophets of the books of 1 and 2 Kings. If you go back and read his stories, he has some great stories. Jesus was citing one of them, a couple of them last week. He goes and he provides for the widow of Zarephath. He has some other great stories. The best thing you can say about him in terms of why he doesn't belong up there, one time, after he's royally annoyed the people who can kill him, he runs away. Which maybe isn't what he should be doing. God isn't overly happy about him on that one. On the other hand, they are about to kill him back in the courts. So maybe Elijah. But then there's Moses. Now, this morning we've heard a lot about Moses, and he saw God and his face was transfigured and he sounds really good. But remember back before all of that, before the Exodus, before Pharaoh and Moses had their little face off in the plagues, back before Moses and the burning bush even, remember when Moses was at the burning bush? He wasn't too sure God actually wanted him. He tried to get out of this whole deal. Really quite strenuously tried to get out of this. If you go back before all of that, he fled Egypt because he killed someone and people knew about it. He was really sure that was going to end badly for him. So, Moses, Peter, James, John are up there on the top of the mountain with Jesus and Elijah. It's hard to go wrong with Elijah. And Jesus. I mean, okay, you've got Jesus. This is who God has picked. this is the inner circle. These are sort of your top six. Some couple of nice figures, well, nice figures from the Old Testament. The Son of God. And the top three, or I don't know, maybe just the three who are still awake from the 12 disciples. This is what the Transfiguration is about. And I think that's actually true. This is what the Transfiguration is about. It's not about Jesus picking the three people who we'd see at, I don't know, today's top of the CEO charts in a Fortune 500 company. That's not what Jesus was doing. He didn't go around and find the three best Pharisees. And as much as we don't like the Pharisees anymore, back then that's sort of the role they played. They were the really successful people. He didn't go around and look for the three best fishermen. He picked the guys who were struggling to catch fish and said, maybe you should stop doing that and follow me instead. He picked the tax collector and the outcasts. And then from that group, he picked some of the screw-ups in the group. And it was a group that screwed up a lot. Like, he had a lot of choices. And said, there's something you need to know. Because we forget that Jesus wasn't about success the way we think of success. It wasn't about your bank account. It wasn't about how much you were going to have to leave your children. It wasn't about what your fourth quarter was going to look like or how big of a picture the paper was going to put next to the story they were going to write about you. None of that mattered. Not to Jesus. Jesus came here for salvation, to remind us that God loves us as we are. So even though Peter never gets it right, and he gets it wrong on the top of the mountain, like Jesus is transfigured in front of him with Moses and Elijah, and Peter is still getting it wrong. I don't know what James and John are doing, but I'm pretty sure they aren't getting it completely right either. And this is who Jesus has picked. Because this is who Jesus always picked. Because this is who Jesus will always pick. Because Jesus is concerned about loving us, where we are, as we are. Because that is the mission of God. Amen.